Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry. Sherry?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning. And we had assignments over the weekend. So on Friday, can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you will never win? Example, the voices push me to stop practicing by pointing out that practice is likely not to be helpful in this situation, while simultaneously encouraging me to try harder. If I quit, I will be made to feel bad for giving up. If I try harder and go unconscious anyway and get identified, I'll be made to feel bad for being a failure at practice. What are the two choices the voices offer you? RL, what you see. And then on Saturday, what possibilities might be available if you dropped out of ego's either or framing of the issue? RL, what you see. And then on Sunday, self-hate holds in place the suffering over an issue by making it you wrong. What self-hating voices do you hear around this issue? Write down the self-hating messages. Note, never record self-hating messages. Example, you say you're a devoted practitioner, but are you? You are still creating and clinging to beliefs. RL, what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rob from Minnesota.
Oh, hello, Rob.
Hi, and I know you like weather, so we've just got 2 feet of snow, and everything's shut down and sunny and beautiful.
There's a combination. Perfect.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So what I'm seeing in practice, about practice, is how, number one, the truth that conditioning has retreated and retreated over the past years of practice, but is still kind of staking out little tiny pieces of territory to hang on to, so that it's always able to say, well, you know, you're not really 100% practitioner. You know, only you know, there's still these couple things, and that means that you're back to square one, and it invalidates everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it's not 100% all the time, then it's nothing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And
you
I can see
through that instead of falling for it.
Oh, it is. It is. And I'm looking. I'm seeing. There's both sort of a couple of times a day that it's, you know, going to sleep time and waking up time, are it's trying to hang on to those times. But the other thing that's dropping in is that I'm really kind of in need of or looking at those metaphors that have to do with letting go completely and falling and trusting that if I let go of those completely, because there's some parts of me that are still just hanging on to that. It's like, oh, I'm okay the way this is with just these little things that are still the old way. So any advice you'd have about...
Well, Rob, the first of all, you know, my encouragement always is don't be in a hurry, because...
Okay.
Yeah, that comes from ego. You know, that's hurry, get busy, go faster, it's not enough. You know, those are all the ways that ego gets us to be distracted, to not be present, to be focused on its program instead of where we actually are.
Yes.
But the other thing about that is that even though it really, 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 really feels like me, that me is ego. Because only ego has a view of something outside of what is. So only...
Okay.
Ego, right, is looking at the past and the future. Well, that I'm that way and I've been that way, and I'm happy to be that way, and I'm going to be that way in the future. All of that is a view from ego. Because in the present, you just are. You're not a particular way.
Yes, that's really, really helpful. Yes.
Good.
Yeah, and it's like, again, yeah, that's really helpful because I get this sort of visuals of little sort of crusty areas that haven't been cleaned yet. But what I'm getting from what you're saying is that just to remind that's all conditioning, and that underneath that is completely big
it's
self.
All clean. Underneath all of that, the little stuff, the whatever ego says it's got hiding back there, underneath all of that is intrinsic purity. And one of the things I love best about our practice, and it's not true with everything, but it's one of the reasons that I was so drawn to this practice, is that we're not trying to get anywhere. So when we are present and we see something, then we choose that. We just do. We don't have to give up something in order to be the right person choosing this. We just choose it because we are no longer identified with that aspect of ego.
Yes, yes. That's great. That's really, really helpful.
Very kind, so, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And it is just that wonderful reminder. Yeah, no need to rush, nowhere to go.
Right.
No getting better.
That's right. Just being here. Don't have to. It's not a self-improvement program. We don't have to look for faults and make a plan to give them up and stop being those evil ways. We don't have to do any of that. We just have to be here with our eyes as open as they can be, and we're good.
Yay!
We'll see it.
That is really good news.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rob.
Gosho.
Thank you. Gosho.
Thanks, Rob. It's the thing that conversation reminds me of, Sherry, is that there's a way in which we are so sincere and so good.
Yes.
That we can be, that we fall for that reference to the incompletion rather than, and we believe it because that's the programming.
Because we are good, sincere, and caring.
Yes. And that's what we fail to recognize when the attention moves to it's not complete. Because it's a distraction from the essential, authentic nature of sincerity, goodness, and caring, which is what we are. And it's a very fiendish way of being able to direct our attention to identify with what we're not.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's that place that we talk about where ego knows how to use the best that we are against us. Mm-hmm. Because we so want to be kind and we so want to be loving. You weren't there. Well, that wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's that place we were looking at where you could, if you see the process you're in, which is the denial of what you are, that's the first place to get out of that conversation.
Yeah.
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 All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Ooh, this is Jen in Pennsylvania. That's always very exciting when that unmuted happens.
Ooh. Here we are.
There's that. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I'm glad to be here. Happy to be here. So as I've been looking at the practice focus this month so far, it feels like a lot of the similar places that I watched with the work one, too, that it's conditioning gets a hold of it, that it's something that there's a standard about. And, I'm either, maybe I'm briefly, meeting the standard and being the right person, because there's a right person thing to go for, but usually I'm not, you know, like it just, mm-hmm. it does a lot of that stuff. That's a lot, you know, a lot of judgments and comparisons and all that kind of stuff. And what it feels like is available in stepping out of all of that is that place of, you know, this is something that I love and I want to do and I'm excited to do. And I want to practice being the line of the, you know, I love you exactly as you are, and I'll help you be any way that you want to be. I love that line so much from our practice, and that's what kept coming in is, you know, I really want to help her to do the year-long practice assignments every day, but just because it feels really good, not because that makes her be, you know, meeting a standard. But that's what gets taken away. Like that's, so that's what's possible as I step out of it, though, to practice toward that place of just being with the human being, loving her, and supporting her too, these ways that she wants to participate, not from that, all that conditioned stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And Jen, it's such a, sorry, I'm choking myself to death here for some reason.
Oh, no.
Hang on. One sec.
Okay.
I haven't been talking as much as usual, so I think that might be a shock to my system. What we get to see in that is where ego comes in.
Mm.
So she just wants to be the best person she can be, right? Because that's who she mm-hmm. is. She just wants to be alive and be grateful for life and enjoy everything and be present. That's what she wants. Ego mm-hmm. then comes in to say, well, that needs to look this way, and you didn't do that, and you didn't do that, and you didn't meet that standard. And so I think it's really helpful to, when we get it, that all of that, all of those standards, that criticism, that being watched all the time, doesn't come from a good place. It comes from ego.
Mm.
It doesn't come from the good person who is just good doing good. It's not coming from there. And if we can see that, I think that it encourages us to drop it, because it's really an evil doer who is just punishing and torturing a good person under the guise of being better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that kind of like, you know, like, we cannot take in what she is saying, sort of, you know.
That's right.
Wanting to
really that's
operate, right.
Right?
But,
shields up.
Yeah.
Red alert.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
incoming
imagine
danger.
If she wasn't right. If she's not constantly evaluated and judged, like, that's how we do this life. Come on. I just feel that so, woo. And yet, you know, I do get a sense of what you're saying, and that's where I want to help this human being go.
Well, yes. And to be sure that what wants to help the human being isn't taken over. Because I want to help this human being, if I then identify with ego, I'm going to go right into that, well, I need to judge and criticize her because I'm helping her be a... No,
yeah.
She's fine. Everybody just needs to leave her alone. She's fine.
Mm.
It's all this other stuff that is causing the suffering. And Jen, the way we can see that most easily, and then you'll listen to this about 10,000 times, right?
Okay, which is a good thing. Yeah.
But where we can see this is with children, okay, with little children. And we see how they're just fine on their own. And then we want them to fit into a structure. And that's where the trouble begins. Okay? Now, and I'm not saying we don't have to have children fit into society, but there's a way to do it and a way not to do it, right? And the way to do it is not well known. The way not to do it is very, very popular, and it's what happened to all of us. And we learn to distrust ourselves. And to look outside for how we should be, and then to listen to judgmental, critical voices, because that's a that's what's going to make us better. I mean, we have a society that is devoted to punishment is the way to be good, and it's not.
Wow, yeah. So what's possible is any time any of that stuff comes up, all the assessments and the comparisons and the judgments and
that's
everything,
right.
Just to know,
you drop it.
It's just, yep, it's just because yep. It's not the source that we, that's not anything that's actually going to help the human being.
Nope. It's just ego trying to take over and have a life for itself, a life that doesn't belong to it. Nope. Cut it out.
Wow.
Yep,
just
draw a line around it and toss it out.
Amazing.
I know. I hear you.
Whoa.
I hear you.
Wow.
Okay. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you. Go happy.
You too. Where's Winnie?
Oh, I'm talking along. And
are you talking away?
I am talking away. I was just saying, and it's so helpful to have a sense of lightness and humor about the process.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That I can recognize
conditioning
operating and laugh at it while it's operating.
Yes.
It's mastery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's such a good point. And the level of disidentification we want, right? Because with what Jen was pointing at, we can see that they're just, okay, I step back and I step into another hole, right? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but you're just, you know, and then I step back again. And until we step back into the... seeing it clearly enough that we recognize it's just crapola. You know, this is just ego doing what it's doing. Shut up. Go away. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're liable to keep suffering.
Yeah, exactly. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sandy in Berkeley.
Hello, Sandy. What are
Hi.
You seeing?
I'm grateful for that last conversation because I feel like I've been carrying ego along this morning as a unwanted guest in the form of the like productivity monitor. And it's not helpful.
It's really not.
Like,
or fun.
No, it's not fun. As we've been doing this email class and looking at things through the lens of the Enneatype 3, I think there's sort of a basic belief that the purpose of practice is to, like, optimize my performance.
That's good to see, isn't it?
Yes.
I love it.
So it can be evaluated in, like, you know, like, well, is it working? Is it not working? And, like, there's this weird kind of, like, almost, like, paranoid kind of superstition or something, or you know when people use that word manifestation and they're like, you know, the energy that you put into things is the energy you get out. And so I'll be in this loop where I don't want to get started, and you know, it's like procrastination, resistance, and then it's like, well, I can't start because then that energy will infuse my work product, you know. So I guess I'm realizing kind of how those things go together, just in the sense of like, if practice was foremost and not productivity, then I would be allowed to be like, oh, well, that doesn't sound like a very helpful belief. Like, I wonder if we just get started and maybe it will, you know, even if it does infuse the work with some negative, dark energy, like, I don't know, let's see, you know, but.
Let's see. Exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, Sandy, when you lay it out like that, the most fiendish aspect of that whole thing is that it perpetuates a belief that it's only ego making you who you are. That without those standards and that push and that slightly paranoid view of how you're doing everything, that you wouldn't care, that you wouldn't be good at what you do, that you wouldn't be successful, that you wouldn't bring the intelligence and skill that you bring to what you do. That's the underlying, that's the foundation that ego is supporting. There's no truth to it at all. In fact, all ego is doing is keeping you from being all that you could be without it.
Yeah, like ego is like a stage mom or something. Like it thinks it's helping or
yes.
it pretends it's helping.
Yes.
But it's
yes.
not a good coach.
It's not a good coach. Yes. Well stated. And that's a great image. Like the stage mom feels like, well, this is about my child. I want all of this for my child. But we can see, no, it's about you, mom. You want it for you. And this kid is just a vehicle. And that is a really perfect image for what ego does to people.
Yeah, it's really a relief to feel like, again, maybe this is the Enneagram 3 values, but it's like, oh, like I don't, listening to ego is not helpful, and I can even trust that the 3 goals will be achieved if I let go of ego.
Well, because it's who you are, Sandy. It's how you are. And most of us have had that completely taken away from us, right? So, you started out with a certain orientation to life, right? And then that got compounded by ego. But it's not like without all of that, everything that you are would go away. It wouldn't. And it might change, right? Because left to yourself, it's like, let's go back to the stage mom and the performer, okay? How might the performer want to use her gifts and talents if it weren't for mom?
Yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
I mean...
Very exciting.
Okay, yeah. That's good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sandy. Those lines are chilling. Optimize performance.
Yeah.
You know, that's what
you can relate.
Oh, truly, absolutely. It's what we're all driven by. That somehow or the other, if the performance, it's what Jen was talking about. If the performance doesn't meet the standard of perfection, you're denied everything that you ever want.
Yeah. And everything that you are.
Yes, and everything that you are. And I think, you know, Sherry, that the most difficult part of that is to identify that as an identification.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Right. That's an ego
That's
drive.
What we're up against.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say a little more about that, Ashwini. Say what you're seeing.
Well, it's that when I can often identify a self-hating message or something else that's coming at me, but to disidentify from being that which wants to meet the performance standards or feels like that somehow or the other I amount to nothing if I don't is also an ego identification.
Yes. Yes. Yes, well, and what I was seeing there when you were saying that is a couple who are engaged in they're sharing an orientation to life, and mm-hmm. and of course they're blaming one another for their mm-hmm. problems, but they're mm-hmm. both equally invested in keeping that balance.
Yes.
Is that kind of a picture of what you're
exactly
what you're saying?
Another analogy is what we talk about in the resistance book. The person who wants to lose weight is not aware that they're part of a cycle, the other side of which is that you never will or you can't.
Yes.
It's both sides of the equation, and when you're identified with one side, you can't see that you're identified because you're listening. You can see what is the identification from the other side, what's coming at you, but not what you're in.
Yes. Yeah. It's like believing that there's only one side to the teeter-totter.
mm-hmm.
You know? I'm just trying to get up, okay? Yes. Or I'm just trying to get down, okay? And then you, on the other side, are my problem, my mm-hmm. difficulty. If I could overcome you, then...
Yes.
But it's one thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, when we talk all the time, of course, about the most difficult thing to realize is what is ego and what is the authentic human being. Mm-hmm. Because the authentic human being was taken away from us way before we can remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's been the theme, right? The practitioner who who is not practicing all the time, the practitioner who needs to meet the standard, the practitioner mm-hmm. who needs to use practice to optimize performance. I mean, those were the conversations we had. And so because it speaks to what we are authentically, then we believe that that's not what we are because we're identified with what we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. It's a miracle that we are where we are with practice, isn't it?
It is.
That we ever get past the resistance in order to practice in the first place.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
Yeah. All right, here's our. I think we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So here we go. Next caller,
right.
Now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Nice to meet you. Renee in Oregon.
Hey, hello, Renee. What are you seeing?
I am seeing. It's so great what you're talking about. It's right on topic with what I'm seeing.
I was thinking. I bet you can relate to that optimized performance.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah.
As a three.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, since that's what conditioning does to me constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've been seeing, though, with all the practice I've been doing with email class, and I've been making a point of being the virtual meditation, doing that more, and the phone call, just everything, I've been having this little voice come in that says, that's conditioning. Like right when I'm in the middle of believing something,
uh-huh.
you know, like, oh, that's conditioning. Oh, that's conditioning.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, that's conditioning. You know, just like it's just coming in a lot more frequently than I've noticed in the past in terms of recognizing when I'm listening to something that's, you know, probably related to performance or what somebody thinks about me or, you know, whatever. And
so you've got a little helpful coach voice going on there, right? You're in danger of being completely caught up in whatever story this is that ego's got running. And that little voice just comes in and says, that's conditioning. And you come too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. It's great. And the other thing it says is, you don't have to believe that. You should, or something like that. Like, that's not real. That's just made up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, just. And so it's just been like, sort of living in this I don't know place, sort of, because I don't. So. So.
Yes.
You know.
And you know.
I remember every. Yeah, and I remember so many times, and this is so hard to remember, but I remember so many times when. You've said, we found out in practice, or, you know, a lot of us have figured out how it's such a lie what we're being told. And then I remember that sometimes too lately, like, that is such a lie, you know? And
mm-hmm. yeah.
And it's, yeah. And I just wanted to call in and report that with everything going on. And
well,
I think we're at that place right there where you said we're in the practice with this.
Yeah. And it's so good. I you know, I never know where I talk about what because, you know. But one of the things that is really helpful for us to get a sense of and begin to watch for, which you're describing perfectly, is that we go along in practice, and it seems like, for the longest time, it seems like it's all up to me. Right. I'm just fighting ego and going up against resistance, and I get talked out of stuff, and I disappear from practice for months at a time, and I forget to, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Right. But I'm just it feels like I'm just trying so hard and pushing that rock up that mountain. Right. And then we get to this place where if we tune into this, it's exactly what you're describing. Help is coming from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're not just on your own. In fact, what you're seeking is causing you to seek, but what you're seeking is also seeking you. And that's what you begin to feel. Now you've got that coach, that pal, that whatever it is that's on your side, helping you to remember. And that puts everything in a whole different place, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Yes, it definitely. I love that description of it that you just laid out there. And, you know, and these are things that are just things that I didn't see before that were really, like, under the radar believable, you know? Like,
yes.
Just
that you could have believed for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And it's so self-hating things. Like,
Yes. And let's tie that in with something else that you started out with, which is, you're doing this. You're doing the email class. You're doing virtual meditation. You're right. So your practice, you've really upped your game in terms of practice, and things start picking up speed. Right. You're seeing more clearly. You're feeling that help. You know you're not on your own. You've got you've got the force of practice speaking to you, behind you, helping you.
Yes, for sure. And I would say that, you know, I'm always doing something in practice, but it's sort of like, you know, it used to be a big roller coaster. Now it's just kind of one of those smaller, bumpy roller coasters, you know, where it goes down and then it goes up and then it goes down at a higher level. But but when I do coaching, I just said this to my coach the last time. I did coaching for a month and then did the email class for a month, and I'm doing coaching for a month again. And what I said was when I'm doing coaching or something that requires me to do something, not just the year-long retreat, but something extra, then my attention is on that and not on getting caught up in as much, getting caught up in self-hate and conditioning as much. Yeah.
It's all reminding you to be present. And when you're present, you hear that little voice say, that's conditioning. It could be saying, wake up, get here.
Yeah.
But it says, you don't need to believe that. That's not true. Yep. It's true. It's that way. And it's that way with everything. You know, if we were in athletics here, you know, if you want to be a pitcher, a big league pitcher, then you're going to have to throw a lot of baseballs, right? And the more baseballs you throw, the better you get. And that's just how it is.
Yep, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks, Renee. That's love that.
Go happy.
Thanks, Renee. Go happy. And Jerry, that brings us to the end of the show, our assignment for today. There's always an implied message underlying what self-hate says. Like the raised eyebrow that is loaded with meaning, every self-hating voice is loaded with implications. Assignment. What message about who or how you are is being implied by the self-hate messages? For example, the underlying message in you say you're a devoted practitioner, but are you? You're still creating and clinging to beliefs. Is that I'm a hypocrite who does not have the ability to deliver on the intentions she hides behind? RL, what you see. Mm-hmm. Reminder, never report any self-hate messages.
Very lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.